We like to believe that space in and of itself isn't going to achieve wonderful things for your organization, but it absolutely can either be a barrier to that success or an accelerator of that success.
Hi, my name is Nathan Harris. I want to welcome you to the first episode of the Life with Ease podcast. In this episode, I sit down with Christopher Good and Jeff Crocker from One Workplace. They are the largest commercial interior design company in the industry, and they've built spaces for some of the top hospitals, universities like Berkeley, organizations like Facebook and Google, you name it. They are the best in the business. And it was amazing being able to meet them at Disrupt HR in San Francisco. It was an event where we all had 5 minutes to speak passionately about our jobs and how we wanted to see how we can make a difference in the digital transformations of the human workplace. And through that speech, I realized so many people that I had synergy with, but one that stuck out the most was Chris. And that synergy came from his desire to figure out how to utilize data to create better working environments that are tailored and customized for each individual. And this is the same thing that we were trying to do in a virtual capacity with Ease, creating the ultimate remote working environment, matching them with the jobs that were ideal fit for this capacity. Because we noticed that certain individuals need that type of environment and that type of freedom and autonomy to have that entrepreneurial experience while working for an organization or in a freelance capacity. So through that synergies, we collaborated with not only One Workplace, but Steelcase, Configure as well. And we started to master the CG design process and figure out all the minute details that made it so complex that we were barriers when friction areas would come about. And throughout that discovery, we were able to do some absolutely amazing things and launch a whole new process, new vertical and talent pool for CET. So that's why this vertical is so special to me. It was our very first enterprise customer and a transformative experience in my life. So I'm really excited for you guys to tune in and learn from two absolutely brilliant individuals how to create a better workspace and a better environment for all your employees and yourself to be effective in. So tune in, check it out, and I'm excited to hear what you think.
My name is Chris Good. I'm the creative director at One Workplace. We are one of the world's largest commercial furnishings and interior design companies. What we do is create workspace that inspires people to achieve more within their organizations, to create workspace, learning space, and healing spaces for all of our customers.
And I'm Jeff Crocker. I'm the Executive Director of Organizational Effectiveness at One Workplace. And I am responsible for ultimately running the people laboratory that is One Workplace that we can test out these theories before we market them to our clients.
Sometimes with good results, sometimes with areas to learn.
Mixed results.
Mixed results.
So we're here at HR Transform to talk about a number of things. The biggest thing is HR transformation. And you guys are approaching the interior design space and construction space in a very untraditional way, a very traditional business. How did that come about? I mean, you've been in business for how many years now?
Approaching 100, a long, long time. The organization itself has gone through many iterations. And I think what I would attribute the most recent iteration is we came to the realization that ultimately all we are is a group of people. And if we stopped treating our colleagues as employees and begun treating them as individuals, it was remarkable what talents we unleashed. We allowed them to be the best versions of themselves, not a pre-described role. I like to say, if you have to go through any version of metamorphosis on the way to work in the morning, please come tell us because you're not working at the right company.
I like to joke and told a story earlier that we're sort of the 100-year-old startup because we were this organization that had been doing very different things for a very long time and suddenly began to grow very, very fast. And that growth completely changed who we were and the kind of work we were doing and the impact we were suddenly having on the lives of the customers that we engage with every single day. The story that Jeff told a moment ago about seeing our organization as individual people, that's not unique to our perspective internally to our own company. It's how we see all of our customers. The workspaces that we're helping to create or the learning spaces and healthcare spaces that we're helping to shape are all now being fundamentally rethought based on this idea that the people who come into those spaces every single day are individual people with very specific individual needs, and that we need to be serving them.
Mm-hmm. And when you say all of that, that sounds like a really large goal, right? To be able to take organizations even outside of your own and implement these things. I mean, where do you even start?
I think it starts with the people. I've been doing what I do for a long, long time. I have never met an individual who wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to go try and do bad things at work today. So it seemed like just breaking the code. If we have people who have wonderful intentions and we have admirable goals, how do we stop just screwing it up in the middle? And just so figure out, how do we get out of the way, remove as many impediments as we can? We have great aspirations. We have great intended individuals. Let's figure out how we just play well together.
One of those impediments often is the spaces that we provide. We like to believe that space in and of itself isn't going to achieve wonderful things for your organization. But it absolutely can either be a barrier to that success or an accelerator of that success, especially if that space is aligned to your organization's culture, to its mission, to its goals, to all of the individual pursuits and needs that those people within your organization have.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of a perspective, there's a lot of like passion here, and then you have to match that passion with data, right? Mm-hmm. To then create the roadmap for the results you want to achieve. So how are you done? I mean, this is a huge building. I mean, you guys could do something like this. How do you know the space is being designed right?
So that's a really interesting question, and I want to be careful in how I answer it, because for the lifetime of people shaping space, it's always occurred because those people who looked at those spaces and wanted to create them used their skills in observation and their skills in listening and their intuition and their heart to decipher what was going on, what they wanted to create. There was an artistry to that, and they designed and created those experiences. Those innate values are still incredibly important. We still want to be able to create that way. However, at the same time, we're in a unique place in time and history, where we have access to information at an entirely new scale that is one other tool to apply at the same time. I think I'd be kind of scared if we landed in a world where data only was shaping all of our experiences without the intuitive and heart-filled and purposeful shaping of a human being helping to move that around and buffer it in some way. But with that being said, all that information coming in now allows us to look at a group of people within an organization and understand how they might behave in a new way to allow us to predict behaviors or predict what kinds of spaces, what kinds of experiences are the best spaces and experiences for a certain function or a certain task or a certain time of day. That's a new world of thinking, and it's really awesome to now have those tools in our toolkit.
And to allow employees, Nathan, to individually choose.
Yeah.
Where before it was prescribed, you were at position A and level C, you got this type of work situation, mm-hmm. whereas the individual knows themselves better than any other person, and you were free to select at different times of day, depending on the types of work you're doing, the space that works most well for yourself.
This is almost beyond data and is more just a larger story of technology. Technology has allowed the work experience to be far more flexible. We don't have to come to the office to do much of the work that we do every single day. But there's value to coming to that office, or at least there should be. And if there isn't value to coming to that office, then either we're doing something wrong, or maybe there's some other better way to solve that need for you. And so we've got to kind of figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's never going to be figured out because it constantly evolves, but you can at least be with the times, right? So when you talk about with the times, I mean, you've been in this business for a long time, especially with you, Jeff. You know, what has been the biggest change that you've seen in the past, like, just 5 years? I mean, there's got to have been something that stuck out.
I think just a real focus on the individual. I think that sort of a realization that everybody who's in any kind of people management responsibility is nothing more really than a customer, an advocate for the individuals. As you know, we've shared earlier, we began gathering and utilizing data about the individual, beginning to quantify their predispositions, their aspirations, and so that we could use data to help predict the likelihood of an individual being successful in one endeavor more so than another endeavor, and sometimes coach and guide them in ways that it took them years to even fully realize, wow, I appreciate what you did, because I knew that about myself, but I wasn't able to sort of fully form that thought and then take action on it.
Yeah, these are the solutions that we use as well with these and our freelancers, and it's coming more and more prevalent as we move forward, because customized work experiences, as you see some of the other interviews, people are constantly talking about it. We need a customized experience. Otherwise, people are going to go create their own customized experience.
Because now they have the tools to do it.
Yes, now they have the tools to do it. So what other technologies, I mean, you talk about cognitive assessments, what's another technology that you could mention that's been helpful in helping you create and craft this new movement?
I think it's been a combination of data collection tools. One aspect that we already mentioned is understanding sort of behavioral traits of individuals, combining that understanding of behavioral traits with also an understanding of how are we currently using the work experiences we have available to us now. So imagine sensors throughout buildings that tell us that these spaces are occupied and these spaces are not, and these spaces that are occupied at these times of day are being efficiently used or inefficiently used. A 25-person conference room with one person sitting in it versus 10 people crammed into a little 5-person room. And why is that happening? When we can look at that kind of data and understand what spaces are working, what are the attributes of those spaces that are working, we can create more of those kinds of spaces that better suit the way our team needs them, or spaces that better suit the way that our team works. And we can get rid of those spaces that are either being used ineffectively or inefficiently from our portfolio and better use the real estate that's available to us. We can also look at how are individuals with different behavioral traits responding to all of these different spaces. Am I someone who needs a lot of focus? And do I need a lot of focus because of the task I'm doing? Or do I need a lot of focus because I'm someone who's maybe a little more introverted, someone who's a little more process-oriented, someone who's a little more patient? I like to have a sense of where I'm going to go every single day, and I want that space to be available for me at a very specific time. I want to be able to predict that experience. When we combine all those different data sets, we create much better spaces.
Yeah.
And I think something else I want to add. In the last 5 years, we have figured out how to play much more effectively with remote workers.
Mm-hmm.
Much more effectively. The software, the data, the communication is so much better that what was once perceived as just an insurmountable challenge is now something that it's almost requested.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and that's an important part of the narrative we've seen as well. And I think that, you know, there's two components there I want to lean into. So as more people become remote, what does that do for your business? Does it just change the way you design the space? Or does that mean that, you know, because essentially one thing they're talking about is you're going to have live work cities where the car isn't going to be used to get to work anymore. You know, it's going to be now used, more roads are used for transit of shipping online sales. You know, how does that shift your business in the long term if more people go remote?
Let's go back to the idea of choice for a second. And let's imagine a greater sense of choice. The workplace of 20 years ago was something an organization provided for the sake of efficiency. How many human beings can I cram into one place to get something done? And suddenly in the last maybe 5-6 years, that changed to creating workplaces that were destinations. Because technology allowed people to work in other places, I want to call them in. I want them to want to come here. So now imagine 5 years from now, a world where it's really about individual choice. Organizations providing a wide array and suite of experiences, maybe within the city. Maybe there's 10 locations in your city that I could go to at any given time that are individually suited for different kinds of tasks or different kinds of needs. When I want to be co-located with my team, I go here. When I want focus at work, I go here. When I want to collaborate with people outside of my team, I go to this other place. And having that choice and that autonomy for myself at all given times. And sometimes that choice is working from home. Maybe that's my best place to focus, but that's my decision.
That's kind of a micro, like, so as much as you're creating those customized experiences, it's like microdized real estate investments or micro experiences to break up those groupings. Like you talk about when you walk into a room, you know, an organization's the same, there's bodies of people and people want to go where they best fit in. So I love that narrative. So How, you know, in closing, can more organizations engage with One Workplace to get involved in this conversation to see if your style is a fit for them?
Well, they can reach out to us. Our website's www.oneworkplace.com, and they can connect with us directly there. And where that would begin would really be a conversation about what are they trying to achieve? What are the goals and business missions of their organization? What are the challenges that they are facing? And us spending some time investigating how we can help them solve for those challenges. And sometimes the solution might be space related, sometimes it might not. And I think that's what's wonderful about our organization is the way that we think and the way that we connect with our customers. A lot of times the challenge we begin exploring initially often isn't really the underlying challenge, and we can help them kind of figure that out.
Yeah, that applies in so many realms there. Like the person's goal isn't always exactly what their problem is. So I love that, and I love the conversation. We're going to have more just like this one as we go throughout this week at HR Transform. So stay tuned, and I thank you guys for tuning in.
Nathan, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to tune into the very first episode of the Life with Ease podcast. It was great sitting down with Jeff and Chris and learning so much about how they're utilizing data to create customized work experiences for individuals all over the world. Now there's another individual creating customized experiences. His name is Don Wetrick, and he's doing it in the high school classroom. He's taking high school students and helped them achieve patents, start their own companies, and become recognized by organizations like Google, Facebook, Purdue, you name it. And he's also been on shows like Gary Vaynerchuk's, Tom Bellew's podcast, and he's featured individuals like Seth Godin, Tim Ferriss, you name it. He's a true powerhouse, and he's making a lot of noise right now. So I can't wait for you to tune into episode 2 as we sit down with Don Wetrick, and here's a quick quote of what to expect.
If you want them to be, you know, our students to think like innovators or like entrepreneurs, you cannot have them sit around and memorize facts and figures.
So I'm sure you can hear the power in his voice and the passion behind what he's building and what he's working on. So I can't wait for you to hear the full interview with him as we dive deep into how you can really transform the future of children by just creating something different, unique, and innovative. And innovation isn't typically talked about in the high school classroom because it's very difficult to achieve with the limited resources that they have. But there are things that you can do, and there's ways that you can also help the community outside of the classroom while doing it.